What I wanted to do, hopefully, was within the next 15 minutes, Bleed Nadra no longer, I wanted to share some thoughts, tips, Eitzahs, perspectives about going back to America, home, the environment we came from, having this fantastic, enjoyable, as well as religious growth-oriented summer. And I wanted just to share three categories of tips. Category number one is going to be learning. Category number two is going to be perspective, mindset, mentality, and attitude. Those are all synonymous, basically. And category number three is going to be family and friends. Number one, in terms of learning, I strongly, strongly encourage you to set realistic goals. Better you should set a realistic goal of an hour learning a day and stick to it than set a goal of 5 hours and get stuck and fall apart and have it not work. I can't tell you how common it is for people to set unrealistic goals, not realizing, hey, if I learn 6 hours every day in the cola, so that's when I had to play ball in the afternoon, I'll get home and I'll have 6 hours every single, you know, day between who knows how long. And again, I don't want to be the first start off discouraging you from learning, but I do believe setting unrealistic goals and not living up to them allows for a crash. Far wiser to set a realistic goal and stick with it. If you want to do more than a small amount, Ashrech of a Tovlach, that perspective I would have is, I learn 40 minutes a day, and then if I have extra time, I can pack in 14 more hours, or as much time as you think you have. But I think the mindset should be, I'm learning a half hour, 40 minutes, whatever it is, every day. I think that mindset is a realistic one. You want to add in 3 more hours if you have time, who knows what? Fantastic. Probably the best times to have these extra starim, I would suggest, would be after Shachris, after Mincha, between Mincha Mariv. The more you're in a Beis Medrash, you're in a shul, the more likely it is to continue. The more you're in front of your phone and in front of the computer, in front of Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is, the less likely it is to continue. I would strongly suggest getting chavrus over no chavrus. If you have an older brother, you have a father who wants to learn with you, you have someone who's older who can give you a little guidance and navigation, fantastic. The more you have things that will enable it to last, the better off it is. Some people are afraid to use Art Scroll. I'm a big believer using Art Scroll. When I was younger, I was raised a generation where everyone told us it was usser and terrible. Art Scroll is the worst thing in the world. Just out of curiosity, how many people have Rebbeim who tell them Art Scroll is the worst thing? How many people have Rebbeim who have no problem if they use Art Scroll? So it's like a half-half. It's a different world already. When I grew up, it was like mamish, total bittul Torah. So I believed him. What I did instead was I watched a lot of television. I knew for sure Art Scroll was pasnish. I had no interest in it. So instead I watched television. Now, l'chora, one can make the argument that the greater of the two bittul Torah, but I didn't think that way. I knew if I was at least learning, I'm going to do it the right way. I think it's a terrible mindset. I think Art Scroll is not that bad. A, it's a difference of learning versus not learning often. B, if you're using it only to cheat, if you're using it only to cheat, it's still better than not learning. B, if you don't use it to cheat, it's significantly better. I don't see a difference between a Rebbe teaching me how to read the Gemara versus me, myself, fighting for the Art Scroll, as long as I'm not cheating myself by never learning how to figure it out on my own. In any event, I think that's another additional worthwhile thing to think about. Again, I would tell you to learn easy things over difficult things. I would tell you to learn Brachos. I would tell you to learn Megillah. I'm a big believer, and if I'm going to give you a specific plan. If you want it, go for it. If not, not. I think this is a fantastic plan. And everyone I know who has gone for it felt it was successful. I'm going to make a small challenge between now and Purim to learn all the Maseches Megillah. And here's the way to break it down. If you can learn 3 times a week, 20 minutes. 3 times a week, 20 minutes. Go out and buy the Art Scroll. Start with the Art Scroll. Read the English and review it like a tikkun, like you're becoming a Baal Korei, making a laning. I use that for both terminology. Read the English, review the Hebrew, know it, do it a second time, till you get every word. If you do 20 minutes 3 times a week, you should probably be able to do about an amud a week. That's realistic. There are 60 amudim in Maseches Megillah. That would take you just to next summer, almost. So what you got to do is do a little bit more than an amud a week, and you should finish by Purim time. That would be an incredible siyum. Send me an email, and I'll respond back Mazel Tov, presumably. I think it's a fantastic plan, a realistic plan, 20 minutes 3 times a week, 20 minutes 4 times a week, a half hour 3 times a week. You should be working just over an amud a week. Review it, know it, And it's a fantastic way to finish an entire Masecha come Purim time. Maybe we'll all get together and figure some out if we do that. I would also say if you choose Megillah, start with Perek 2, 3, 4, do one last. Just for a piece of advice, I would go 2, 3, 4, and then 1. The first is the longest, and the second half of the first Perek is the most difficult. And therefore, once you're 3/4 of the way through, you'll probably have enough push to get through. If you start out, you can get stuck. Well, and therefore give up. While I'm at it, one of the greatest things to learn how to do in general is never get stuck. How you do that's a longer conversation in far more detail than I have time for. If you want, we can talk about it. Once you could learn to not get stuck, that's a great thing. And I think art school is a great way to do it, especially if you're learning on your own, not for sheer, etc., etc. That was point number one in terms of learning. I'll add on a few more quick things. If you want to go to YUTorah or Shmooz.com or whatever else the things are that keeps you learning, there are great dafiyomi shirim. You want to do chazar on it. More important that you learn than what you learn. That having been said, the more productive you are with your learning, the more you'll enjoy it and want to stick with it. When you find yourself finishing the daf opposed to learning a daf, it gets to become more of a burden than it does a pleasure. And therefore, choose something you'll enjoy, choose something that you'll do, put yourself in an environment where it'll work, in a base medrash or in a shul, or a situation where you have a chance, with a chavrusia like, that who's going to show up. Think to yourself for a few minutes before you set up a plan, not what's the greatest thing in the world, but what will work. Most kids who walk off NCS White Polo pumped and inspired to accomplish great things either do or don't, and if they don't, it's not because of lack of motivation, it's because too often the plan was just not realistic. Better to set smaller goals and stick with them than set unrealistic goals and find yourself struggling. Number two is mentality. I imagine most people right now are on an incredible religious high, as you should be. This was probably the most intensive learning experience you had in your life. You spent all day long practically learning, and you fell in love with it and probably enjoyed it more than any other time. There's a good chance you feel very good about yourself religiously, and you should. And if not, you should probably work on that. Then having been said, go back, stick with it, keep up chavrusas, keep up religious dedication and commitment and everything. If somehow you end up falling, whether falling means you're learning less, whether falling means you're looking at things on the internet you shouldn't be looking at, or doing things with people you shouldn't be doing, whatever the definition of falling is, and everyone has their own way, theoretically, how they could fall. Again, try your best not to fall, not suggesting you fall. Don't find yourself at 1 in the morning hanging out on your girlfriend's couch in a situation where you did all sorts of errors for the last 8 months of your life and thinking now it's different. You'll probably succumb to the exact same mistake again. Don't find yourself alone with your internet in a situation late at night, in your bedroom, whatever the situation you think, try your best to do things to prevent falling. That having been said, if you do fall, and listen carefully, don't see yourself as a person who no longer is frum. See yourself as a person who's frum, who made a mistake. The more you identify, the more you feel comfortable saying, I'm a frum kid, I'm a ben Torah, I'm committed, I'm religious, or any other formulation of that, the more you identify with that and just recognize that you made a mistake. I even made 10 mistakes in a row. If you're a Mechal Shabbos 10 Shabbos in a row, it's a terrible thing. I made 10 big mistakes, but I'm not a Mechal Shabbos. If you struggle with Nagia, see yourself as a person who's shown me Nagia struggling opposed to a person who gave up on that. The more you maintain the mentality of, I am successful, I am good, I am from, I'm a Ben Torah, I'm committed, but I'm struggling with particular issues, the more you have a chance at fighting past them. And even if you don't fight and succeed in any one more, that identity in and of itself is infinitely valuable. I am a person who is committed. I value Torah. I make mistakes all the time. Sometimes I speak Lashon Hara. Sometimes I get competitive. Sometimes I talk that nicely. Sometimes I'm a Vatal Torah. I do all sorts of errors. Unfortunately, I'm not a perfect person. I'm not the only person who's imperfect in this group or in this base medrash or in this world. You probably could watch Rav Meir Tversky for the entire summer long and never see him sin. That doesn't mean he doesn't. Everyone in the world sins. It's just part of who we are. But to identify, and he's probably the best person of an example who you can think, who you can have a Yetzirah that he probably doesn't. I've spoken to him about it. He's told me he's done it. And I know he's not lying. could be a sin for him, his dad or Noah. There's not a person who doesn't mess up. I think the most important thing in terms of this area is if you make a mistake, see yourself as a winner, as a Ben Torah, as someone committed. If you made a mistake, we all make mistakes. Pick yourself up and keep on moving forward. Lastly, in terms of friends and family, and I'll do this quickly as well because, again, I try to stick into 15 minutes. I went through 10 already. In terms of friends, I'll start with friends and get to family after. I'm still doing it around. I'll start with family first and get to friends answer after. In terms of siblings, if you want to have a charusa with a younger brother, if you want to learn with a younger sister, chumash or mishnayis with your brother, who knows what, those are wonderful things. Make sure you don't come back and feel and be that guy who's only interested in flipping everyone else out. You want to have a chavrus with your brother Mishnah? It's beautiful. Make sure you also take him out and play basketball with him. You want to learn Parsha with your sister, learn Nach with your sister? Wonderful. Make sure you take her out to ice cream as well. It's important that your younger siblings don't see you as a person who was a brother 6 weeks ago and came back as no longer a brother, but some chabadnik who's living in the family trying to get filling on your father and having your mother cover hair or who knows what. That's not the proper perspective your siblings should see. They want to see you also as a religious model? Fantastic. If the only relationship you have with your siblings you're trying to get them from, see that as a flaw in your own religious growth. Let me say it differently. Don't put yourself in a situation where you'd have to see that as a flaw in your own particular religious growth. You want to learn with them, givaldik. But do something that meets them on their turf, on their level, on their style as well. Obviously not something that is usher, but something that is healthy in a good relationship. I do with my children all the time. I play basketball with my kids. I read them books. Sometimes we watch a little television together. Things that make them know that I love them and I'm not just interested in their frumkeit. But also, I value the relationship. While I'm at it, similar with your parents. If anyone wants to encourage the parents to become more frum, it's a very, very dangerous pursuit. Perhaps worthwhile, perhaps not. No one should be having a conversation on the way back from the airport as to why your dad's not wearing tzitzis, your mother's hair isn't covered, or why the dishes aren't toveled. You feel like those are important things that break into your house? Probably they are, worthwhile. More importantly, you do things smartly and wisely, and then you come back and you convince everyone of who knows what. In terms of friends, there's a good chance you had friends who still like you and want to spend time with you, who are going to have a positive influence on you, Ashrach HaVatov Lach. If let's say you have friends who you think are going to have a negative influence on you, that's probably not unrealistic. It's probably even the majority of people in this group. Some will not intentionally want to, and some will intentionally want to. So you may have a friend who says, you went off to Kollel, I'm glad you had a good summer, but now you're back, stop being so frum, come and do all the fun things we used to do beforehand, which may or may not have been mutter. You may have people who are as vocal and as articulate as that. Some may take it one step further by saying, I am the Yetzirah. You may have friends who go that far, and you may have friends who aren't interested in Dafka doing that, just stop. They're interested in doing whatever they were doing, playing basketball on Shabbos, and you feel it's not coveted. Or watching things or going to places, whatever that you shouldn't be in, etc. How should you handle that? I'll share with you a few quick pieces of advice, but before I say anything, the answer is, Ezo Chachma Roes Anolad. Think about potential situations, whether they're with parents or siblings or friends. What potential problems may come up, and think of a game plan. Not always, but usually the best game plan is not to ignore it. My father-in-law is a wonderful guy. It drives him crazy that my wife only wears skirts and covers her hair and dresses. So I knew he was not into that at all. So my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, she came back from one of the summer programs wearing skirts only. My father-in-law didn't want it. She was trying her best to wear sweatpants around the house. Then when she leaves, she put on a skirt and slipped out quickly. And it's difficult to hide frumkeit from your parents or friends or whatnot. For starters, again, Ezu Chach Maras Anolad, if you can anticipate the problem and come up with a plan, you're probably better off than just allowing the problem to just surface and figure out, ignore it, or who knows what. My approach is either to say or to act in the following way. I respect your right to be not from. I ask you to respect me to be from. I don't know if you want to say that. That could be seen as not cool or corny, or maybe seen as respectful and mature, depending on who you are, if it works for you and if it works for your family or friend or who knows what. I think the way to go is to either say that or have that attitude. I respect your right to live your life the way you want to. I'm still friendly with you. We can still play ball and hang out and do this and do that and whatever it is we want to do. I respect your right. I'm going to share with you my thoughts. You can share with me your thoughts, but I respect your right to do what you want. I'm going to ask you to respect me for the decisions I make. And I want to make more religious decisions. I'm asking you to respect me for the decisions I'm making like that. And that's totally within reason. It's a reasonable thing to ask for. It's a respectful thing and way to go. If you can articulate it that way, great. If you think that your friends aren't going to handle that, or that's not you, or that's, you know, that's not a cool way of saying it. And it might not be a cool way. It might be depending on who you are and what works. That is the mindset I would use. I would say you may want to say to a friend, I'm glad we did this in the past. I don't know if I'm ever going to be 6 months from now. Right now, I want to spend more time playing basketball, playing hockey, than doing whatever. If this is not helpful and you think this is not the way to go with your friends, at least take my first point, which is, think about potential problems in advance. Talk to Madrichim, talk to Rebbeim, feel free to talk to me afterwards, talk to your parents. If you're nervous that your dad's going to think you're too frum and not your mom, you may want to say, Mom, I love you and care about you. I'm coming back a little frummer. I want you to help me out so that dad or uncle so-and-so doesn't make comments. I dive in a little longer. I don't know if it's going to last forever or not. Right now, that's what I'm doing. Maybe I'm too frum, maybe I'm not, but it's going to bother me if my older brother so-and-so says, oh, look how long he dives. So you could say either yourself to your brother, or you could ask your mother to say to your brother, or whatever it is, older brother, I know it bothers you that when people daven long. I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me if you daven long or short or daven at all. I'm going to daven a long time. That's the way I want to do it. I'm going to ask you not to make fun of me. I prefer if you don't. I don't like being made fun of in general. Particularly if I'm trying to do something that I think is good, I'd want you to be encouraging. If you can't be encouraging, at least don't make fun of me. If you can say that, great. If you can't say it, ask your mother or father or brother to say it, great. If not, that's the attitude I would take. Lastly, I would not allow my religious growth to be an impediment and pain in the tochus for everyone. If the family's going on a hike at 9 o'clock, waking up at 8:45 and davening a 3-hour Shemoneh Esrei is totally inappropriate and terrible midos. You want to daven a 3-hour Shemoneh Esrei, family's going hiking, wake up at 5:30 and make sure you're out on time. People in your family shouldn't feel they're carrying the weight of your religious growth. It causes the bitterness. And to be frank, it's disrespectful. The Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva, when he would daven by himself, he had so much kavanah, he woke up in different parts of the room because he lost control. He was so engrossed in his tefillah. And the Gemara says, and he was chaz, he was always the first one to finish. He didn't want to be matriach letzibur. An incredible sense of, again, it doesn't surprise you that the one who says Zekla Galbatar, reference of Raftalik El Chamocha, was so sensitive towards other people. And this time, maybe I'll quote Rav Shmuel Elio in his whole story, Chachamena Barosho, use your brain as you see the world, better off being intelligent, being sensitive and sensible, than showing everyone you're from. One last thought. There's a good chance you went through an incredible religious growth and you want to show everyone how frum you got. Be proud of it on the inside. Be less showing to everyone. If you're constantly measuring how long your Shemoneh Esrei is versus everyone else's, and wondering if they're noticing how long your tzitzis are and how long you're davening for, they probably are A, noticing it, and B, noticing that you're noticing. And if you think I'm wrong, think of how many people you've noticed that about. I think the answer is many. Therefore, I'll review very quickly. I know I'm over my time, but only 1 or 2 minutes, so rabbis are given a minute or two extra to go over their time. That's part of the smicha course. Bad joke. Appreciate the sympathy laugh. Number one, set up realistic goals and learning. Emir Tzashem, finish Megillah with me this Purim. Number two, have a mentality that if you fail, you're a successful kid who made a mistake. Number three, set up a plan for friends and family who you think may give you trouble. The right mindset, I believe, is I respect your right to be not from. Again, I don't advise it. I don't think it's the right move, but I respect the free choice God gave you. And I'm going to ask you to respect that about me as well. Mir Tzashem, we should all go back and continue being mechazik ourselves. If you have further questions, feel free to stick around and ask publicly for a few minutes, and then we'll do one-on-ones afterwards. Everyone have a great night. Thank you.